Amen. I want for you to repeat these words after me. No word from God will ever fail. Say it again. No word from God will ever fail. I want for you to think about a word that you received from the Lord. Could have been this year, last year, 5, 10, 20 years ago. I want for you in your mind's eye to lift up that word, and I want for you to speak it again. No word from God will ever fail. I'm speaking about the Rhema word. Amen. As we've been looking in our small groups, that word that the Spirit of God gave to you for a specific situation, it could have come to you in a dream or in a vision. It may have come to you through reading the scriptures, like my flourish word. Amen. It may have come to you through somebody giving you a prophecy. I want for you to say it again. No word from God will ever fail. This is part two of our series of the book of Luke. And as I mentioned, we may weave in and out of this book for the rest of the year. We'll just see how Holy Spirit leads. And so we're in chapter one, and you may be wondering, Pastor, I don't remember ever reading those words in Luke chapter one. Let me say to you, if you do not use the NIV version, yes, you wouldn't have seen these words. But this is actually Luke 1, verse 37. And just to give you a little bit of information, when Bible translators go to translate the Bible, the Bible is available to us right now, not in its original copy, but there are many manuscripts that are hundreds and thousands of years old. How many went with us to see the Dead Sea Scroll at the Royal Ontario Museum? A few of us went down to see it, and that I think they had the Book of Isaiah, if I recall correctly. When we take a trip to Israel, someone say when, we will go to the museum, and you will see scrolls upon scrolls, fragments and of the papyrus paper of the Holy Scriptures. It will bless your heart. Because what you read in Jeremiah and Isaiah, guess what? That's exactly what is written in these ancient texts. But Bible translators use different manuscripts. And so the wordings may be different, but the meaning is exactly the same. And as you know, I use the New International Version when I preach primarily, and sometimes the New King James. So the New International Version puts Luke 1, verse 37. It says, for no word from God will ever fail. Somebody shout amen. In the New King James Version says, for with God, come on, nothing will be, say it again, for with God, nothing will be impossible. The New Living Translation says, for the word of God will never fail. Amen? How many know it means exactly the same thing? With God, nothing is impossible. Let me read you the context of this. In Luke chapter 1, and I want to encourage you when you get home to read this entire chapter. It is 80 verses, and it is life-changing. I want for you, when you read these words, to put aside all the messages that you have ever heard. It's the Christmas story. It's the birth of Jesus. But I want for you to read it with fresh eyes. I want for you to read it with, you know, through the lens of no word from God will ever fail. Verse 30, and I'm just picking it up in the middle of the story. You know, the angel Gideon, he comes to Mary, and he brings her this truth. He says in verse 30, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. But Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word," say it with me, "for no word from God will ever fail." And Mary's response is, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Amen? Somebody say it with me. For no word from God will ever fail. And the angel speaks these words. Amen? And saying, listen, your relative who's old, unable to conceive, she is now 6 months pregnant. For nothing is impossible with God. Amen? In that word nothing in the New King James Version, to my surprise, guess which word I found? Rhema. Amen? This word that we've been studying in our small group, that nothing has no word from God written in it. And so I want to tell you, this rhema word from God, when God speaks a word, how many know that it's powerful? Amen? You've got your logos word, the written word, but when he speaks a word to you, come on now, you have the rhema word, and that word is powerful. In Hebrews, it talks about that. It says the Son of God is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Guess what? Rhema. When Jesus speaks a word, how many know that word? It says it sustains everything. One of my favorite verses is over in Colossians, and it says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That word that Jesus speaks, come on now, at creation, when he says, let there be, do you know that that word is still in effect today? And it's upholding all things that he has said. All the plant life, the stars in the sky, guess what? You and I, the very breath that we take each second is a result of the word of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. So let me just go back to our text. The announcement of the birth of John the Baptist. Talk about life-changing, nation-changing, earth-changing words. Luke chapter 1. John the Baptist, amen, and Jesus. And so many times when we read the scripture, we lose the awe of how awesome these words must have been to the original, you know, people who heard them. The birth of John the Baptist. Amen? And so I want to just go a little bit deeper with this. Mary asked the question, how can this be? And the angel responds and say, that which is biologically impossible, come on, the word of God has made it so. God doesn't have to come and touch you. Amen? For you to be healed. How many know that God can speak a word? Amen? Father, for your healing. He speaks a word for your deliverance. He speaks a word to your child, in your marriage, in the church. Amen? To see situations change. No word from God, it will never fail. Amen? Praise God. I'm just going to jump ahead to save a little bit of time. I want to speak to us today on this topic, amen? And you see, we're saved. Somebody say, thank God for my salvation. I am saved. That was last week's message. I am gloriously, wonderfully saved. You are gloriously, wonderfully saved. The greatest thing that God has done on earth, amen, was to save us. And so, you know, God's word will never fail. But perhaps you're like me, and perhaps you're like other believers, that sometimes when God speaks a word, amen, our faith begins to wane on that word. Am I talking to any real Christians in the house? Amen? Sometimes after a time, we begin to wonder, is this ever going to come to pass? Is my situation ever going to change? Are my children going to be in the house of the Lord serving him? Amen. Are my finances going to turn around even though God gave me that word and I received it? And sometimes we go through these seasons, amen, and we begin to doubt. Can we just call it what it is? We begin to doubt, amen, after a while. Today I want for you to hear and hear it loudly. No word from God will ever fail. Are you hearing me? That situation, that thing that you've been praying about, or perhaps like me in some situation, you stop praying because you're not seeing it. Please tell me I'm talking to real believers, and it's not just me. Just wave at me. Amen. Just let me know that you're with me. I want for you to think about Zechariah. Amen. I'm going to call him Zech. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest, underline, highlight the word priest in your Bible, named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. How would you like that said about you? Guess what? This is what God says about you, amen? That you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's like they were following God. I want for you to see this in the text. They come from an excellent lineage, good family. Look at their background, amen? They're obedient, righteous servants, amen? Zechariah spent time in the holy presence of God, but yet he still struggled with doubt, amen? Praise God, and perhaps you're at that place. We're going to look at it. He may have been wondering, God, have you forgotten about me? I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. God, I am serving in your house. What is happening? Amen. But I want for you to hear today, the word of God will never fail. I love Numbers 23:19. For God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Come on. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Somebody say, God, make it good for me. I am talking about the word. Amen. The word. Praise God. I want to suggest to us that there are two areas in which we struggle with the word. And the two areas are, number one, you know, the timing of the word and the how. First, let's look at the timing. How many struggle and is impatient like me and wanted it yesterday, God? Praise God. You see, Zechariah had a desire for a child. In verse 13, the angel says to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard." This is something that Zechariah was praying for. His wife was barren. He's, you know, and the angel says, "You and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And so Zacharias and Elizabeth waited and waited and waited. Now they're old. Come on now. And perhaps they stopped, you know, asking. They stopped thinking about it years ago. She's no longer in that age-bearing age. Amen. And so probably, like most people, just, "Ah, well, I guess God's not going to do it." Verse 18, it says, "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years.'" Oh, come on. Amen. When you look at the reality of the situation and you look at the timing, God, how can this be? And you know how the story ended. Because he doubted what an angel of God said to him, he went mute. Amen. He could not speak until that child was born. I want to say to us, amen, God's timing is God's timing. And perhaps you're like me, that when you hear the word of the Lord, you think it's for right now. Right now. Let it happen right now. Every day you're looking right now. Praise God. But how many know that that's not necessarily how God works? Are you with me? Amen. You see, there's another timing issue in this book. And that's the prophetic word about John, right? Do you know that this was prophesied over in the Old Testament? Hundreds of years in the book of Malachi, 450 years before this. This is what scholars, you know, believe how old the book of Malachi was. You know, it says in 3 verse 1, "I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. What is it that said of John? Amen. That he's the one who goes before our Lord. So this was prophesied hundreds of years before. Amen. Not only just in the book of Malachi, it was prophesied in Isaiah over 700 years before. God says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the desert a highway for our God. When God speaks a word, we tend to think in our time span and space. But I want for you to hear again today, amen, that with God, come on, his timing is not necessarily ours. Over 700 years, I meant to check, or I should check, how many generations that would be. Somebody do the math real quick, amen? Back then, a generation was, what, 40 years, amen? And so we've got to recognize the timing of these things. That when God speaks a word, it's easy for us to doubt when we don't see it happening in the time that we think it should. Are you with me? Amen? No word from God will ever fail. We got to wait on God's timing. Another miraculous prophecy that we see being fulfilled in Luke chapter 1, amen, is the birth of Jesus. Yes, in Isaiah, his birth was also prophesied. Isaiah 7:14 speaks about, you know, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Over 700 years later is now being fulfilled for us in Luke chapter 1. Amen. I want for you to begin to think of timing differently. 2 Peter 3 verse 8, you know, we all know it. Do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Come on. So I just want to encourage you today. That which you're waiting on to be fulfilled, you need to resign yourself that this is going to be in God's timing. It's going to be in God's timing, and it's going to be in his way. Think about King David. I mean, there's so many examples. As a young boy, prophesied over, anointed that he would be king. It says in 2 Samuel 5, verse 14, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and then he reigned for 40 years. I want to encourage you, if you've been praying about something, believing God for something, trust his timing. Trust his timing. If he spoke a rhema word to you, amen, about your family, your finance, your health, your destiny, your calling, trust his timing. Do not give up. Do not doubt. Do not begin to say, well, ah, well. We all know how we do that. Please, somebody, wave at me. Amen? Praise God. So that's the timing. Let me quickly talk about the how. What do we do? If we're not doing when God, when, our logical brain is trying to figure out how he's going to do this. How many know? Take a look at Zechariah's response. It says in verse 18, how shall I know this? This is the how that he's struggling with. Zechariah has doubt right now. It was also Mary's response when she says, you know, to the angel in verse 34, how can this be since I do not know a man? Us humans, what are we? We are finite in our understanding. We are limited in what we know and what we can learn. How many recognize that? We're not as smart as we think we are, but yet we try to figure out God. We try to figure out his ways. We try to figure out, well, how is he going to do this? Please tell me I'm not the only one. Amen? Excuse me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We try to figure it out. We try to say, come on, God, how are you going to do this? I want for you to think about Zacharias. I asked you to underline that he's a priest. It says in verse 5, he was a priest. As a priest, the man of God would know the word of God. He would have known about Abraham and Sarah, who were in a similar position to him. Come on. God had said to Abraham, you're going to bring forth a child. And they waited and waited. There's the time issue again. Come on, are you with me? Amen? And then, obviously, they got themselves in trouble because they went and tried to fix the situation because they couldn't figure out the how. In Genesis 17, verse 17, it says, then Abraham fell on his face. The angel, you know, reminded him about having a child. Amen? And it says in verse 17, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? You see, if we're not careful, we're going to try to figure everything out. Try to figure out, how is this situation going to turn around? How, God, how, God, God. We may vacillate between when, amen, and how. Let me encourage you today in this beautiful statement. He's God, and you're not. Amen? Can we trust him to do the impossible? Come on, when God spoke to Moses and said to Moses, I am taking you out. I'm sending you to take my people out of Egypt. Moses did not have the means by which, amen, to accomplish this. He didn't have the buses. He didn't have the extra food. He didn't have, a map. Come on now. He needed God, amen, to lead him. And we see with Moses that God had the how. God says, I will part the Red Sea. Come on. They came to that place, and Moses be like, God, you told me to lead these people. What do I do now? How many know that God is not limited like we are to the natural laws on earth? We've got to switch in our mind, and this is all that I want for you to do today. Do a flip in your mind to say, just because I can't figure it out, it doesn't mean that God won't do it. Just because it's been 5, 10, 20, 30 years, it doesn't mean that it's not going to come to pass. I want for you to do that switch in your mind today. God is still a God who parts Red Seas. God is still a God who will rain down manna from heaven. God is still a God who will cause, the Bible says, the sun to stand still, amen, so that the man of God could win the battle. Don't tell me that there is anything too hard for our God. Amen. If God, after hundreds and hundreds of years, says now is the time, it tells us in Galatians chapter 4, I believe, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. After hundreds of years, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, when he says that he was going to send the one who was going to crush the enemy's head. God will do it. Amen? God will do it. I want to say to you that if we get locked into trying to figure it out, we will become like the children of Israel. God says, I am taking you into a land, come on now, that is flowing with milk and honey. You're going to possess the land. What do? They saw, they heard about the giants. Their brain went tilt. There goes faith in the word of God. They couldn't figure it out. How are we going to defeat giants? How are we going to possess what God has said? And they said, no. So church, do not cast off your faith. Do not lose hope, amen, because I am telling you, in these areas of our lives, if we do, we'll end up going around the mountain again and again. I want to encourage you to hold steadfast to the word of God. Why? Because no word from God will ever fail. I want to encourage you. You see, sometimes we allow ourselves, preacher included, to get stressed out, worried, amen, discouraged. And I guarantee you, try this. I have been doing it for 30-something years. When I find myself in that place of discouragement, when I am down in the pit, where I feel lost, abandoned, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, discouraged. Miss Smith, what promise of God are you not believing right now? I say to you, what promise have you gotten your eyes off of? Have you forgotten that he's Jehovah Jireh, the one who will provide? Have you forgotten that he's our way maker and the miracle worker? Have you forgotten that he's Jehovah Jireh, your healer, your deliverer, your restorer, the one who is fighting for you, the one who loves you with an everlasting, awesome, unconditional love? Amen. Have you forgotten the one who says, come boldly to my throne of grace, where you may find help in the time of need? Come on. Ooh. Have you stopped asking about that matter? He encouraged us to keep on asking, didn't he? In the word. Amen? Seek and ye shall find. The verb tense is continually seek. Amen? Continue asking. Don't give up, church. I just want to encourage you in your faith. Ask him. There's nothing too big. There is no condition. So many times I think we put up with things because we, you know, oh, well, I prayed for healing from this for 5 years. It hasn't happened yet. Keep asking. I've been praying for my children for 30 years and they seem to be getting worse. Keep asking. Nothing is too hard for God. No, somebody needs to shout with me with that. Nothing is too hard for God. This is what the angel said to Sarah. His word will never fail. Amen? His word will never fail. When you look at the world around you, listen, you turn on the news, it won't take but 5 minutes to get depressed. Amen? Talk of a recession. There is war. In the midst of it all, this one's fighting with this one, this one's fighting with this one. The forecast for the future, you listen to them, it seems like it is doomed. But the word of God says, in the end, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Men's hearts are going to grow cold. It says, when you see all these things, you don't get depressed, you don't doubt, you don't worry, you don't stress. The word says, look up. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. He's coming back again, church. That's a word that will never fail. And in our minds, we look at the world and we think, God, how is this going to happen? He is coming again. The promises that there is a mansion laid up for you and I. Listen, house prices right now, sweet Lord, amen? God help you if you're trying to buy a house. But how many know that the truth of the word is that there is a mansion, that there is a place for you and I in heaven, amen? Oh, a recession, oh, my Father's got streets of gold. My Father is the omnipotent God. My Father is the one who still performs miracles. My Father is the one who can still multiply my bread. Amen. I just want to encourage us today. So how do we get the word? Well, if you're in our small group, amen, we're in the word, you're studying your Bible. You're seeking, God, I need a word for my situation. I need a word for this. I need a word for that. Then when you receive the word, it's simple. Believe the word. Amen. You got to believe that word more than you believe your own name. Hallelujah. You got to stand on that word. I heard this great quote from Bill Johnson. He says, the great privilege of the believer is to believe. Isn't that good? The great privilege of the believer is to believe. Amen. Is there anything too hard for God? Absolutely nothing. Amen. There is no disease that he cannot heal. There is no condition that he cannot restore. Nothing. If he has spoken it to you, amen. What I do when I'm doing these studies, I print out the entire chapter one. And I don't know how many times I've read it. I read it and I write notes. I read it and I write notes. And when I came to Luke chapter 1, verse 37, I wrote beside it on my paper, you can take it to the bank. The word of God will never fail. Amen? Has he spoken it? And will he not make it good? I just want to encourage you. Amen? Go back to those prophetic words. Some of you have them written down. Pull them out. The dream that you had, the vision that you had, pull them out. Amen? Read them, tape them up where you can see it. Write out Luke 1:37. Nothing is impossible with God. The word of God will never fail. Declare that truth again and again. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Did this encourage you today? Amen. One or two of you. Okay, praise God. Let me ask again. Did this encourage you today? Amen. 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 Bless God. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray for a rhema word for the people of Mississauga Victory for 2022. Lord, if they have not yet sought you for a word for this year, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would speak your word. Speak your word to your servants, Lord. Father God, we bless and honor you. We praise you. Lord, I thank you that you're so patient with us. Forgive us for doubting. Forgive us, Father God, for laying things on the shelf. Forgive us, Father God, for shrugging it off. Help us, Lord God, to pick up your word and stand on it once more. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.